You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
This is the Dan Levitar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I want to get to some football stuff with you guys in a second, but I don't think we had enough fun yesterday, and we mentioned it briefly. But how did we not have more fun with Magic Johnson, a Twitter account that we have mocked for a long time for being a say-nothing Twitter account? Yeah. We think that Magic Johnson has gotten... Well, I got called a racist by Keyshawn Johnson and others because I was saying that...
I defended you. Mike and Mike.
It's a great sentence to utter. I got called a racist by Keyshawn Johnson and others because I had said that Magic Johnson had gone a long way in life on a smile, on charisma, and I didn't think that he wanted to work hard enough to do the Laker job of president that job required. And it wasn't just my opinion. It was a lot of sources wondering the same thing. And then the Lakers, there were calls to ESPN after I said it. People got in trouble. And then the Lakers one day couldn't find Magic Johnson and saw on social media that he was hiding in a bomb shelter in Hawaii. And that's how they learned where their general manager was.
That's why they call him the Magic Man.
Yes, and so the Magic Man has a couple of things coming out now.
Should be noted, Dan, you were absolved of racism or alleged racism about a year and a half into the Magic Johnson experiment.
It was one
when he told everyone about his MLK paraphernalia that he has signed.
It was one of the most magical experiences of my life to be called a racist over things that ended up being just simply truly true about Magic Johnson, who very publicly just quit because it was too much hard work and said so. So confirmed my initial report that was not racist, that Magic Johnson didn't really want to work that hard. And I don't blame him. He's Magic Johnson. Like, why would you want to work?
Yet he works really, really hard.
But on his Twitter account.
Sometimes, man. You say Cam Newton's bad. Next thing you know, you're a racist on social media.
And we have said, and I still think it's a great idea. I'd like to do it. I'd like to do a second screen experience where we just roll Magic Johnson tweets instead of Magic Johnson. Just his best tweets on the screen of obvious things that Magic has said. But this one time, he decided to get out there and not say something obvious by protecting his beloved genie bus and saying, you deserve better than these Lakers. Stugatz, I don't know if you saw, LeBron had like 19 30-point games more than anyone in the league recently. Like, he's got more 30-point games, and they're like 10-9 in those games.
Right.
Like, LeBron was putting up giant numbers.
He's playing great. They're 6-4 in their last 10, 22-22 overall. I still think they're going to figure it out when Anthony Davis gets
okay, back. And I don't want to hear your opinions about this.
I had to throw it
I
in
I know
there.
You yeah. have to. You've been out here with that opinion. You think they're going to be fine.
I hope, yeah.
But they lost by 40 against the Nuggets, and Magic Johnson said that she deserved better effort, and she deserves better, Jeannie Buss. Deserves better effort. She gave him all the power in the organization. Deserves better effort. And he quit. Deserves better effort. Because he didn't want to stop being Magic Johnson and be scouting games in Kansas.
He helped her get LeBron. I mean, he's won the Buss's 5 NBA championships. He's done enough. He's just asking the players that currently play, hey, well, try harder. Jeannie deserves it.
Really, you're going to defend Magic Johnson on the amazing irony of him demanding that others work harder while he himself quit?
Well, he quit. He realized he didn't want to work that hard, and so he quit. And what he's telling the players is, hey, you don't want to work that hard, then quit. Jeannie deserves better. What's wrong with that? I mean, loves Jeannie Buss, and he's right. She does deserve better. This team should be better. They're not playing well. They have Westbrook. They have LeBron. They have Davis occasionally. They should be playing better.
How did this go wrong? They have an aging Westbrook. They have an Anthony Davis that is almost never there. How? They have a mishmash roster that we said before the season started. How is this going to work exactly? Well, LeBron will be the
answer. Not just mishmash, old as well.
And now we have a LeBron who was indestructible throughout his NBA career, largely, and he is missing games at a clip that we're not used to seeing. I mean, he's still pretty active. For God's sakes, he's playing the five, but it's not good enough anymore.
Westbrook is saying, of Magic Johnson, he can have his opinion. He is saying it's a compliment that he keeps getting booed. He says he's happy to hear it because they don't boo nobodies. I mean, Reggie Jackson said that. They don't boo nobodies. He's like, that's fine. I'll take whatever the expectations are. But let's just say you're not right, Stugat.
Okay.
Let's say they're not just going to turn on some switch and all the things that we're talking about here where they look like a totally pedestrian team. Totally pedestrian. And it looks not like the end of Tom Brady's run. But it looks like the end of LeBron's run. They don't seem to have the pieces to trade for anything. You don't know how they're going to fix any of it. They're going into the playoffs with an old defense.
Although they beat the Jazz by 6 points. Jazz, a very good team. Magic's tweet worked. I mean, how about that?
Maybe the regular season doesn't matter at all. I simply want the audience and the shipping container to examine how magical it is for everything that happened with a tweet, an account that had been really dormant when it doesn't provide any controversy. It is the most obvious tweets possible. Magic Johnson is now going to be in the middle of an Adam McKay HBO show that Magic Johnson has said, I prefer the thing I'm working on. It's going to be one of these documentaries, and it's going to be good because his life has been so interesting. It'll be some 8-part thing.
Wait, you think Magic Johnson, him producing something, the way that he produces his own tweets is going to be good?
I think that Magic Johnson, that story told in 8 parts, would be worth the 8 parts if told well.
Agreed.
Magic Johnson is producing that, and he says, the guy who the Magic show on television lasted 9 days, 9 shows, one of the most epic failures in the history of late night television. Magic Johnson is going to produce something. His story is interesting. I don't believe the way he will tell it will be interesting, but Adam McKay is going to be trying to tell it with John C. Reilly on HBO, and you see what those guys are producing, right? The Righteous Gemstones is so well made, and you just
misbehaving. Yes. Mama said don't, but I did it anyway. Misbehaving.
Running around with a pickle in your mouth.
What happened?
Why is running around with a pickle in your mouth?
Misbehaving.
It's so fun. And now that's coming to the Lakers. story. Pat Riley, I want to get him on to talk about it, but it's off of the Perlman book. Jeff Perlman does great sports books, and I'm not sure that, well, I know that Pat Riley didn't like that book, and I don't think he trusts the recreation of it, but I think the more honest story is the one Adam McKay is going to tell on HBO, not the one that Magic Johnson is going to try to sell you because he's trying to tell his story his way.
The Magic Hour had an 8-week run, the late night show. Yeah.
I always make that. Every time I ask that question, I always ask, was it 8 shows? Was it 11 shows?
Hey, they try to inject new blood into it when I think, was it Tommy Davidson that they put up there? Was it like, I think they threw on like a sidekick to help Magic carry the load.
I, Stugatz, would love to tell the 8-part Magic Johnson story that was the real story, right? That Paul McKeskey was telling us. He's walking through the forum. I hope I've got that name right. It might not be McKeskey. It was something, someone.
Brakowski.
It was someone. No, it wasn't Brakowski.
Paul McKeskey.
Brakowski saw Mike Tyson having sex in the forum.
Mike's right about that.
No, I don't think he's right about that.
No, that was, well, was it Brakowski that told the story?
No.
Piotrowski? Was it Eric Piotrowski?
No, it's
two generations before.
Yeah, right.
Let's stop for a second, and I need to share all of this with the audience because I am sure that what Adam McKay is making on the Lakers is going to be amazing.
Frank Brakowski.
Yes, Brick.
The Tyson story.
No, listen to me, Mike. You're going deep inside here. We called a former Laker to tell the story on the air. You have this sound somewhere of him walking through the forum, right, and in one of the offices, a door swung open and Mike Tyson was having sex with somebody on a desk.
Not Frank Brakowski.
This was Frank Brakowski.
I just got there and I was probably there 2 or 3 weeks for the team and I had to go back and sign some W-2 forms or something, and I went into the wrong office, and I opened the door, and there was Mike having sex with a woman on a desk. And I kind of froze, and Mike finally stopped when he realized, well, he didn't stop, he looked at me when he realized I was just standing there, and he put up his finger, and he goes, "Hold on!" And he didn't miss a beat, and just kept going, and it seemed like an eternity, but I finally just walked away.
I just love, just go ahead and Google Frank Brakowski.
Courtesy of Frank Brakowski.
Why'd we have him on?
Please, for that, to tell that story. Please also Google, though, Paul McKeskey.
Yes.
And understand why it is that we make these mistakes. But
And then Google Eric Piotrowski, just for the hell of it.
He's in a doorway standing there frozen by Mike Tyson having sex. Magic Johnson's story, Mike, of introducing us to HIV and handling it with such an uncommon grace at the height of sports, at the height of Los Angeles, at the height of entertainment, a hero, a god in that city with Pat Riley coaching those teams, just a total god in Los Angeles. What was that life like? I would love to tell that 8-part story honestly, which would have some of this in it, the honesty of Donald Sterling.
What has he done? Can you tell me, Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS. Did he do any business? Did he help anybody in South L.A.?
Well, I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full-blown AIDS. But
tell me that wouldn't be interesting in 8 parts, like if Ezra Edelman got a hold of the Magic Johnson story. But it's not going to be that. It's going to be some sanitized. It's the same thing. The Jeter thing, Billy, come out yet on MLB? Like the Jeter things. The Brady things have actually been more honest than most because Brady wants you to see things and is using Deepak Chopra's kid because Brady actually at this point in his life.
He wants you to see some stuff.
Wants you to see a little bit into his life.
But he still controls what he wants you to see, which I don't like.
But
you
not
know?
Surprisingly, though, Stugatz, look, not surprisingly, you could control part of it, but when you got a personality and an adulthood like Brady, Kobe did it correctly with Showtime, and I think he might be the only one to have done it correctly with Showtime because Kobe showed you, I think it's their most popular sports documentary ever, Kobe actually showed you a little bit inside of his creative machine. Kobe wanted to make good content. Kobe wanted everything he was doing to be good, so he'd show you enough honesty. He'd show you enough leg to get you into the tent. Magic doesn't want to see. To me, it's a fascinating thing to study that city, those two guys, and now LeBron. what Magic did with fame, what Kobe did with fame, what LeBron did with fame, what they do with content as well in the content kingdom of Los Angeles. LeBron hasn't made very good things, but Kobe Bryant on Showtime showed you a little bit inside of his mind, and Tom Brady's doing it now with the Man in the Arena, right? At least it's a little more honest, even though it's still packaged, it's still sanitized. Billy, the Jeter thing going to be interesting to you? You're going to watch Jeter controlling a Jeter story. I hear that it's coming, but he's like the last great thing that baseball can even do this with. This is like 2000s DiMaggio.
I didn't even know there was a Jeter thing. When does it come out?
I didn't know whether it was out or not. I know he's in control of it, though, and because he's in control of it, I don't want to watch it.
The captain.
Thank you, Billy.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Dan Le Batard.
We were talking to and about Freddie Gibbs. And then Greg Cody made an appearance, and Chris Cody made an appearance, and we were talking about the possibility of Freddie Gibbs having the rap album of the year, at which point Chris Cody, who is too young for this and doesn't know, like, athletes from the 90s,
right.
Chris Cody,
you okay?
Says, is that one of, is that Barry Gibbs? Is he, and so then the BGs start playing.
Stugats.
Well said.
A little bit of a struggle. A little bit rusty here.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
We've got a legitimate problem on our hands with this Mike Ryan fiasco with the audience, where he is getting more and more aggressive with the customers that he loves and we love, and everyone loves each other, but man, he's getting called names about not shaving his hair. He said it would be after the holidays if he lost the bet, and after the holidays includes the rest of time. And now we've got contract negotiations with Metal Arc Media. This is a real thing. Stugats knows that Mike Ryan signed a one-year deal, unlike everyone else here who signed for 2 and 3 and 4 years. And negotiations are now ongoing on whether or not Mike is going to contractually need to shave his hair or may leave the company over it. And it's distressing and it's annoying. I think he's got to pay the bet, but so far he says that he does not have to. But before we get to that, Billy, I saw parts of a show, and I had to stop it because I thought it was good and I want to put it in the file. I don't want to watch it casually. Peacemaker with John Cena is, I was not a comic book kid. I was not a superhero kid. So maybe this was in the comics of youth, But the Deadpool type superhero who's in on the joke, I am here for all of that. And it seems like it's well written. And it seems like John Cena is acting well in it. And it made me think of you because you were arguing that John Cena is a good actor a couple of weeks ago.
He is, right? John Cena? Is he a good actor? I think he's a good actor. He's been good in movies. Did you see Vacation Friends on Hulu?
What?
You guys haven't seen Vacation Friends on Hulu?
I haven't even heard
it. No, that's a new one.
Oh, my God. Guys, everybody and girls and everybody, do yourselves a favor. Watch Vacation Friends on Hulu. John Cena's in it.
When you say a good actor, though, it's just he's fun, right?
No, he's a good actor. Like, have you seen Daddy's Home 2?
Oh.
What?
No? No.
No.
Did you watch WrestleMania 28?
Did you see Blockers?
Blockers. That was the one I was thinking
of. You guys watch movies? What do you guys watch? What do you watch, Chris Cody? All of a sudden, over here, judging me, give this guy a podcast with Adnan for 5 minutes, all of a sudden he becomes a movie asshole.
Wow.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did Chris Cody become a movie asshole?
Is he going to win any awards,
I told myself I wasn't going to curse this year, and already you got me off to a bad... awards?
I'm just saying, like, when you say he's a good actor...
Adnan's changed
there
you.
Can be, like The Rock. I like watching his movies, but I'm not saying to myself, he's a great actor.
Oh, yes, he can.
He's not an acclaimed actor.
Oh, he could absolutely...
He can make something fun... Without being a great actor.
Talk to me about screenwriting and score and best picture. Do you call movies movies anymore? You call them pictures now?
Films.
Oh, my God.
What's going on with the tension of cinephile? And Adnan's a bit of a movie snob, and Billy's advocating. Have any of you seen Peacemaker on HBO Max?
I saw the Suicide Squad reboot that James Gunn was behind. James Gunn came to that franchise after he was kind of kicked off of Guardians of the Galaxy, but then he returned back to Guardians of the Galaxy, but he still has this like DC version of Guardians of the Galaxy. And John Cena was in that Suicide Squad movie. Spoiler alert, it's been out for a while. John Cena turns out to be like the villain in that movie.
Whoa.
And you're led to believe that character meets its demise, but in the post credits, you see that the Peacemaker is still living. And that explains why the Peacemaker has his own spinoff show now.
Will you watch it? Suicide Squad, Guardians of the Galaxy was very well written. And again, this is not something that has been a part of my childhood or my adulthood. So the Deadpool type superhero who works raunchy or flawed and is more human than the Batmans and the Spider-Mans are human. Like human, the character is rich with flaws. I think that is an amazingly funny conceit. The Boys on Amazon Prime. I think flawed superheroes as a conceit is new to me. Is it new to the audience?
There's a funny, I like this particular character's whole deal because there was a line, I think, in Suicide Squad, which was along the lines of, like, I want peace, and I don't care how many innocent people I have to kill to get it.
That's right. How many children
and children I have to kill to get it.
Well, the thing that made me think that Peacemaker would be good is the way that the intro's done, where John Cena is dancing, it's choreographed, they're in on the joke, it's got the Deadpool wink, and then they got me at the end, because I don't know how the hell they trained an eagle to land at John Cena's feet. I don't know if it was CGI.
I think it was a CGI
I don't
thing.
Know if it was CGI. It looks so real. So.
They textualize it by the eagle very clearly missing its mark and then backing up to get back to the mark.
It looked so real to me, and I just wanted to follow a show like that to wherever it is it's going to take me, at least in part because it's so hard to find good comedy. I just find it harder and harder to find good comedy being made, even though the Righteous Gemstones is doing it.
But I'm with Billy. I think John Cena is a good actor. Yeah. He may pour it on a little too thick at times, or you can tell he really wants this to succeed. He did the entire promotional tour in full costume.
That was funny.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of what John Cena is trying to do, and I'm going to check this show out based on your recommendation, Dan and Billy.
Vacation Friends.
And Vacation
too,
Friends, I Hulu. Have to.
Yeah, you saw.
Wait, have you
already
seen Vacation Friends on Hulu?
I've not.
Oh. Do you dabble in Hulu? Or is that like
for
second tier?
For Love Island, actually. It's embarrassing.
What?
I watch Love Island.
He identifies as an Englishman.
Wait,
which
Love Island?
It's so weird.
American, British,
no,
Australian.
The UK one. Listen,
UK one.
Unless there's three women from Essex, I'm not interested.
Bloke.
Baby?
Hell yeah.
Billy, Are you having...
You know how many times Mick Jagger uttered that very same sentence?
Are you having beef here with Chris? Has he become more of a movie snob
He's
now?
He's changed. There's just a, something... You guys don't sense it all of a sudden?
I'm just... I don't believe you when you say that you think John Cena is like a great actor. I'm thinking... Have you seen I think him? You're... Are you going to name the movies again?
Vacation Friends? Have you seen him in it? Daddy's Home 2? Daddy's Home 1, but his role is more limited there.
You've been told it's very hard to tell when you're being sarcastic, though, yes?
No.
This is news to you?
John Cena is a good actor.
I hate you.
What?
Yeah. Whoa!
In Billy's defense,
thank you. We don't need to go any further.
Chris Cody gave a review on the most recent episode of Cinephile. I'm like, wow, he's changed. He's like,
what
the
was
way
it
that
for?
The like I didn't believe that turn in the character story and the way that the film really and I was like, wow, Chris. I looked at it more from an impressive point of view. I was impressed, but I don't think Chris wants to be on my side of
Chris
looking at movies.
Chris pawing at your microphone to defend himself.
The standard is so low for me. I'm pretty sure what he's talking about. I just said somebody had range.
What movie?
I think that's all I said.
Yeah, but you just learned what that word meant.
Was like, look at you using big words now.
What's the movie? What's the film?
The new Ben Affleck movie, The Tender Bar. Because I had actually seen that one.
That book was excellent. The Tender Bar was one
really?
Of, yes, it was excellent
I
book.
You read the book? I haven't listened to it yet. I saw a Ben Affleck movie called The Last Duel where his wardrobe was totally distracting. They made some very bad choices with hair and wardrobe.
The trailer to The Last Duel lured me in just because of how absurd and funny it seemed to me to have the two guys from Good Will Hunting and the boyfriend in Girls be knights who were fighting to the death. Adam Driver, Ben Affleck, and Matt Damon. It seemed like a funny... And it's also Ridley Scott, isn't it? So it's going to be like this epic thing.
Yeah, he blamed millennials for that movie being so bad.
Yeah. So you could very clearly tell what happened with this movie is Affleck and Damon returned to screenwriting with this idea. And somewhere along the way, someone reminded them of their climb and which producers helped their climb and said, hey, you probably want to include a woman's perspective on this story about rape because you're telling two sides and it's very clear. And this is actually attributed to Matt Damon. I heard him tell this story on Mark Maron's podcast. And I was like, I kind of know how this came about. And it's a very interesting way to tell a story because it's now from three perspectives. And you could... The woman that was brought on to screenwrite this film is in a different class. Like, that's the best chunk of the film by far.
Check with Chris first. Chris?
The last third of the film is the best?
It's really... I enjoyed it. Really puzzling decisions were made. I like how Matt Damon's character in particular changes so much with each telling of the story, but I enjoyed it. And millennials really bombed this one.
You know what's interesting? I don't know if any of you in the audience, this is certainly not the constituency for it, but the Sex and the City remake, and Just Like That, I was a huge Sex and the City fan, and I enjoyed very much the writing of that show and ridiculously that it defined fashion for across a decade. And so I was curious, will the writing be as good? And when I started watching the remake, and Just Like That, I had to go back and Google whether it was done by the originals because it's such a poor imitation. But one of the things that they did in this that made me laugh out loud is I had not realized how white Sex and the City was 20 years ago until they bludgeoned me over the head with the ethnicity in this one, reminding me of how little color was in the last one. Like, they were so heavy-handed about, we've got to get representation in here of all kinds. So heavy-handed that I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. The original four friends were incredibly white. And there was not a lot of diversity on that show. But it was so heavy-handed and bad that it doesn't work. A show I admired, it's not that I outgrew it. It's however that show grew, and the writers and the creators of that show grew, they're forcing in race storylines, and they're not any good at it.
There was nothing surprising about this season. Maybe the shock, I guess, in the first episode, but the second you saw the lighting and how they framed the shot, you could telegraph what was going to happen 30 minutes later. From the initial casting announcement, you kind of could tell where this season was going, and the show never keeps you on your toes. Carrie remains awful. Everything is through her prism. And she's supposed to be a sympathetic character in this season. And she burns up that capital like within
Mike,
a half episode.
I don't get why I'm recoiling on it so bad. And I don't know, because it has its moments of good writing. And Sarah Jessica Parker makes good choices. And that allowed her the freedom to make any choice she wanted. The success of that show.
Right, which she came back to this show. Every episode that I see of this new iteration of the show.
It's so bad.
Like, no wonder Samantha flew away from you guys. You guys are awful.
Oh, but Mike, I don't think Samantha would save it either. Like, her being a part of this, I think she's never looked better.
Yeah, this is the best choice. It's a bummer because Samantha had very interesting storylines, and I think that character in particular would have been fascinating to see age on television because she was obviously the most hypersexual of the characters. She pushed boundaries and made men feel uncomfortable watching that show with how aggressive she was when she broke down boundaries 20 years ago. To see that character continue to age and further push that boundaries, it's a big missed opportunity. I'm kind of bummed that they all got in a big fight.
Speaking of big missed opportunities, you are more disliked right now than I believe I have ever seen in the history of this show. And there have been, over time in this show, any number of your personality types that have annoyed people. I don't know which guys you would choose here. Annoying Browns fan, annoying Heat fan, annoying Hurricane fan.
Wait, is this like Tom Cruise where I'm just like variations of cocky?
You're a lot of different kinds of annoying, but never more annoying than you are right now with what is happening around. People are mad at us. And the Sheets and Giggles guy, who's purchased the younger
great guy
Cody, is about now $250,000. If you shave your head, you will be getting our fans like $250,000 in savings because he's basically giving a $50 gift certificate to anybody, correct? If you do indeed shave your head.
You guys don't know what... I know I exist in your ears and you think like, oh, he's a character, haha, and like it's funny every time he tweets something to just post a GIF of someone shaving their head. There's real life consequences to this stuff. My life has been made a hell of a lot worse by this. Going out in public, I'm constantly reminded about this, and it's kind of soured me on the entire idea. And if you check the tape, the spirit of what I said was absolutely true. Do I get any credit for being
Georgia's
super
better
right?
than Alabama? No. That's not the point. You lost. They weren't on the day that you made the bet about.
Well,
though.
I think we should look into that result in Georgia, quite honestly, when they've matched up the first time, because it was very clear after watching that national title game that we should throw out all the results that we saw between those two teams in Georgia. We should look into it because Georgia didn't have the same stuff on the line that Alabama did. So I'm totally cool if we all agreed that the spirit of the deal was that Georgia was better than Alabama and Stugatz wasn't watching college football, and therefore Mike was right, toss out the results that we saw in Georgia, folks.
You can't throw out the results
yes,
in Georgia.
You can.
You can't just throw them out. That's not the way.
And look, I happen to know from a petition that I've seen online that it's a pretty split topic right now. I'm seeing a very split Twitter.
It's thousands
However,
of people, right?
When I put it out there, thousands upon thousands.
That
so
say
many,
you don't have to pay the
many
bet.
Many are saying tens of thousands.
Yes. No, but the petition has how many signatures?
We can't. Can we trust that it only has 1,500? Because if we're going off of Twitter, you see this avatar here, say shave your head. But you haven't checked the ID of the person that started that Twitter account. They probably have sent that tweet 5 times already.
Bots? You're accusing bots of wanting you to shave your head?
I'm saying that the people that are in support of me are fundamentally decent and aren't creating bots. And right now it may seem like they're being drowned out, but I think we need to listen to these people's wishes who follow along with the spirit of the deal, that I was right. I think what happened in the national title game absolves me. And yet, I would do the right thing in the eyes of the naysayers if I were treated with respect, not just by them, but by this company. And I haven't received the respect that I feel like I deserve either way.
Well, I don't know about that last part because this is clumsy and it's part of building a business. We've had to build a business around everything that's happening here. So these are not conversations you're having with me. We've got an executive team and I don't want to lose you. Nobody around here wants to lose you, and it can't be over this. Like,
no,
that's
it's not
a,
over
that's
this,
a losing
but this is,
argument.
But Dan, this is a part of it.
if I continue to feel disrespected and people are like, and shave your head on top of that, how am I supposed to process that?
Why were you blocking everybody on Twitter over the weekend? Blocking fans of this show, just blocking people right and left in a way that's defensive. It's unlikable.
I can't watch Odell Beckham Jr. without getting flooded anytime that guy runs a 4-yard out and catches a pass. You would think that in 4 games under 40 yards, my life wouldn't be as much of a misery. But no siree, we throw that all away when he has a 7-yard fade in the end zone. It was a good play.
Well, when he throws for more playoff yards in a Monday night game than Baker Mayfield
does. Fine. What would you like me to do about the Odell Beckham Jr. situation? We've talked about it a lot. He quit on my team. Who am I going to back? The guy that quit on the team or the team? I feel like there's no real debate here. And yet, it is a torturous experience going to social media for me. And I shouldn't be treated that way. To follow me, I believe, is a privilege. I've been on that platform since 2009.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
And you're not just entitled
privilege
to tell me whatever is on your mind that I may deem disrespectful. And if you try me, you're going to get blocked now. This is a new rule. I happen to think there is some validity to echo chambers. And I plan on living in an echo chamber full of positivity as long as I see fit. In fact, I've been talking to the people over at Twitter because big tech is absolutely at fault here. And I think I'm going to take my Twitter behind a paywall. I have already begun the process to initiate a super follow program in which my biggest fans and most ardent supporters can properly line my pockets because they have an algorithm, and maybe I'll be able to make up some of the disrespect that Metalark has given me by $9,000 a month in Twitter super follows.
You should quit your job and just get paid to tweet. That's what you should do. That seems like the solution.
I've been giving it for free when Twitter tells me I can make close to $10,000 a month just by starting super follows. And we're all governed by shame. You've all seen it, all you blue checks out there. I'm not going to do this because of what people might think of me. Those same people that would hop in your mentions telling you to shave your head and not even bat an eye, they don't deserve you. Put your thoughts, your jokes, your gifs behind a paywall and get that money. Get your respect and surround yourself with only people who agree with you.
What are we going to do about this? You can't leave the show over this. This is a critical time in the company.
Well, the exclusive negotiating window closed at midnight. 2021, right? So I have till March here. We're kind of like on a handshake agreement where it's like, I'm not going to make waves. You keep paying me. But I've been told that this thing was going to be done.
But wait, you said no waves, but this is the first time you're publicly saying that you're being disrespected by the company. You say no waves, but you can't do that.
What are the concessions that are being made in my behalf?
Well, Mike, you got to shave your head.
My argument is you got to let me off the hook for shaving my head because I've been over here twisting in the wind for you guys to actually step up to the plate and give me the deal that I felt like I agreed to a month and a half ago. So
this is the only stipulation now? This is the deal-making point?
No, hop on one of your fancy co-founder calls and say, hey, let's close this deal with Mike and let's get him to shave his goddamn head. I've already done the hard part, which is talk to my wife. Again, you guys just think that I'm a character in your ears. You don't know the real-life consequences
of this. You have a mullet right now. Like, why would this be a worse haircut?
Are you kidding? This mullet is incredible. My wife loves my hair, and it's come back due to a strict regimen of collagen, biotin, and keeps. It really has. Look, the circle on the back it used to be thinner. I was watching video of me celebrating the Champions League final. I was like, what's going on back there in Sector 4? Keeps, biotin, collagen, cleaning up Sector 4.
Well, if there is the fear, right? You've had the fear before that if you shave your head, there's no going back, that you will be doing permanent damage to something you've cared about, which is that you've begun losing your hair.
Brush forward the entradas, Dan. I know what the top of my head looks like under the light, and I'm not thrilled about dealing with that hairline growing back in for the course of 4 months. But I will do it if people start treating me with respect and acknowledge that the entire time I was right about Georgia.
I don't like that this is no longer fun and funny.
I can't tweet about the Florida Panthers without someone sending me some kid getting his head shaved while crying or some Vince McMahon WrestleMania footage. Like, let me live in peace. I think I have a pretty sterling reputation on this show about giving the audience what they want. How about a little respect and a little bit of trust? But you are honestly pushing me away from this by not giving me the benefit of the doubt. Don't you think that, yeah, I was trying every which way, but Sugatz wouldn't let me off the hook. Don't you think that I, person who was helping push Kate on behalf of the audience to eat that pepper, don't you think I would eventually come and deliver? But no, you guys are so impatient. You can't take a rib. You can't take a storyline that plays out over several weeks. You just want everything right away. Well, goddamn you, I wanted to play this out the right way, and now I'm just going to take it all from you. Well, I thought we were having fun here. I thought we were playing characters. I thought we could be nice to each other. But no, I thought that there would be a legitimate result in Georgia, too, but that didn't happen.
And now you're blocking everybody, and now you are creating
that
echo chamber.
You should quit right now to make a point.
Yeah.
Quit. Quit. Go to Twitter.
No, I need the super follow paperwork to go through. I've applied for it.
Oh, okay.
So I do kind of want to use this platform a little bit to boost the memberships. Those subs are going to mean a lot to me.
What we did at the end at ESPN, you learned the lessons well, yeah. Where we were telling everybody for 3 weeks on ESPN's air, hey, come with us, audience. Yeah. Come with us. We're going to keep the feeds. Come with us. Don't go anywhere.
Blocking people is a strange way to take followers with you, though, to Super Twitter,
Billy,
whatever it's called.
You want
to
know something? My follower base has grown over the last 48 hours, even though I have blocked close to 1,000 accounts.
Wow.
I mean,
weirdos making burner accounts to follow you.
It's weird how many people want my thoughts now that they don't have access to it. And it was a eureka moment. I can just get paid for my thoughts. I've been giving these gems away for free for over a decade. No longer will that be the case. And no longer will you just be able to come up to me and joke to me thinking that we're pals. That's not going to happen anymore. I'm a real life person. I have a family. And I don't want to go to the Outback Steakhouse with someone saying, hey, nice hair. What about Georgia? No, that's not fun for me. It's not fun. And that shit ends now.
All right. This is a disaster.
I'm typing up your 2 weeks notice right now as we speak. All you got to do is sign it.
I would love to sign any documentation from MetalArk, but we drag our feet.
Do you want to sign the documentation that says that if you're waiting right now for your super Twitter paperwork to come through?
That would help me because
well,
look,
let's put a debt. We need to put a deadline on when. Tell the audience.
Well,
the
contractual deadline is March, and there is a scenario in which I leave these studio doors never to return. If
with
I
your
don't
hair.
Sign, I'm not going to give you free shows. I already kind of feel like, yeah, what? I'll be like, oh, well, we couldn't agree to terms, but let me give you this gigantic, embarrassing payoff. You think that, what would that do for me?
It buys
me nothing, by the way, shaving my hair. It buys me nothing with you guys because I want to remember how mean you were throughout this entire process. I don't want to do this for you, you heathens.
This is unpleasant now. He's blocking the audience. He's alienating the customers. He's being more annoying than he's ever been, and he's threatening to quit the show.
People are calling me Mike
disrespecting
Lyon.
Disrespecting you, Dan, and your company, goodness. What you built here.
Well, look, it works two ways. I feel like, why was I on a one-year deal? Has anyone given that any thought?
No.
Why is Mike Lyon on an earn-it deal? Sugat's on an earn-it deal? No. Who in this shipping container is better than me? Who? Why is Mike Lyon on an earn-it deal?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.